And just before that bit of music, you heard the Zombies and She's Not There. But on the line now, I have Paddy Duffy, and he's a columnist, broadcaster, television maker, and an author. Hello, how are you, Paddy? Can you hear me okay? Good morning to you.
How's it going? How are you doing?
Okay. Now, this book you have, sort of, you know, looking at a kinky way of looking at us as being Irish. But I want to talk about yourself first. There's a motorway in Offaly named after you. That's unusual.
Well, there's a motorway named after the man that I'm working on a documentary series about for the BBC, which is coming out next spring. Sort of one Barack Obama. Yeah, so we're making a documentary series about him for the BBC, and so I'm very lucky indeed to be the assistant producer on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll stick with the motoring theme to the extent of motorways and all that. And you think that we go out of our way some, I don't know what percentage you think we're out of our way maybe to get a cheaper gallon of juice along the way. I thought we were a bit too lazy for that.
Oh, no, maybe it's a rural-urban divide, and all is the thing, but it's like, I know certainly it's sort of across the West Coast, there's almost like, you know, like sort of century points, you know, it's like, oh, you know, there's a great one, you know, sort of about 20 miles down the road there, and it's only 117 now, and it's like, just 117, I said, so, you know, people will pass by like a good three petrol stations I've seen, certainly in Donegal. Maybe it's kind of that our parsimoniousness sort of outtrumps our laziness, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think it is. It's certainly a big characteristic of up home in the rural places anyway. Yeah. Especially when you've got so many places from, you know, you have to travel from A to B is always about 30 miles to get anywhere at all. Like.
Okay, and the other thing I find frustrating about, I was just having a little rant about it a couple of years ago, and I brought it up again this morning, that when you do pull into a service station, they're not really service stations anymore, unless you want to get a paper, a beer, or a bar of chocolate, or just put your petrol in. But anything to do with a car, I think, is rather extinct now.
Well, I mean, it's a funny one, sort of how the motorway culture has sort of exploded in Ireland, you know, because I remember that whenever I'd be going up to Dublin whenever I was younger, and you'd have to go through all these different towns, through Louth and Meath and everything, and now of course it's nothing but motorway, and it's nothing but sort of service station, and like you say, it's just not a shop, you know, it's like they have to sort of these like multi complexes. So yeah, it's a peculiar part of like the new Ireland that I think that people are still very, very much getting used to.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think? At the start of it, you say if aliens were to descend on Ireland from high, they'd be forgiven for what they think about Ireland. Well, what do you think of the idiosyncrasies are that we have that makes us differ?
Well, this is one of the things that I really wanted to write the book about. No, you know, is it because I'm over living in London now. And so whenever you're over here, the things that you take completely for granted about being Irish, you know, they're sort of flushed out and they're given a bit of a shake in a way that they're not given a shake back home. And so that was sort of one of the things that I wanted to write about, you know, is like in terms of sort of the things that interest us, you know, sort of the history that we have, you know. So, like, the reason that I call the book Do You Know Who's Dead is because, of course, our obsession with the obituary notices. And I say, you know, the local stations, you know, sort of often their meat and drink can be, you know, can be sort of the obituary notices. That is, like, the most listened to bit in the whole schedule. And, you know, like, at any time I go home, there's always a case of, you know, like, it's like maybe the second or third question, you know, it's like, well, kind of, how are you? How's London? Do you know who's dead? And sometimes it's people that you've never heard of at all before, you know, it's like, oh, you know, Wild Jim, you know, he used to be in Mass. I've never seen that man before in my life. I have no idea who you're talking about, you know?
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, oh, and so going ahead.
And what about the idea that a fizzy drink, a flat, is treated as a medical panacea? Is that to do with, I've heard the one about the 7-Up, you restore it with a fork, it sort of flattens it and it's good for you?
Oh, yes, no, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like a sort of, it's conventional medical wisdom in Ireland that, you know, a bit of flat 7-Up will do you rightly. I mean, that is... you know, I know actual doctors who give their kids when they're feeling a bit poorly. You know, oh, but a flat 7-Up will do you fine.
Yeah.
So if only Seven Up knew what they had in their hands, you know, that they could wake a wee mint in the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm. As you said, the book Do You Know Who's Dead, is it out at the moment?
It isn't yet. It's Thursday.
Okay.
And over here being Guy Box Day, you know, I like to pretend about bonfires and fireworks for being in the launch, but I won't shorten correcting me. So it's been out since Thursday, and it'll be available in all good bookshops, and it's also sort of, if you're of a mind to maybe send your friends or your relatives who are over in like Australia or Canada or whatever, and they want to be sort of have a bit of a reminder at home as well, you can have a look on the Amazon website, and if you look up my name, Paddy Duffy, or you look up Do You Know Who's Dead, you'll be able to find it there too.
Okay, your line was breaking up a little, but it's become clear now, so we'll continue. And you covered the gamut of everything to do with Irish mythology, the Rose of Tralee, and even biscuits. The one thing that gets I find funny all the time is a lot of people already talk about the tato. You can get them in England now, but they're not the same.
Talk about it, you know, how Irish can you get? There's even different in Northern Ireland, you know, like there's a different factory up in Tandragee in Armagh. Mm-hmm. And so it's tato there is different. It looks different, sort of like Mr. Tato has a bit of a makeover, you know, so like there's nothing more Irish than having, you know, like sort of equally beloved but completely separate sort of brand. But of course, the thing that people don't know is that people are really proud of the tato brand, you know, because They were the first people to actually come up with the notion of a cheese and onion crisp. So that notion has gone across the world. It was good on Tato that were the first to do it. But yeah, no, you're right, you know, because the reason that I wanted to go from
mythology. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there again, Paddy.
Coconut cream.
Yeah.
It's kind of all these things are, you know, there's very different things that make us Irish, and there's an awful lot of layers to it, an awful lot of nuance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these were the sort of the things that I wanted to cover, because, you know, as a country, we're a lot more than just, you know, what people from the country sort of think we are. You know, it's all leprechauns and Guinness and sort of, you know, top green hats and everything, you know. So there's a lot to us, and I wanted to try and cover as much as we could.
Yeah, I think a lot of the quaintness that you're talking about is what makes us popular with tourists, though, as well as aliens.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is why tourists love us. You know, it's because we have a very different attitude, I think, to not a lot of places in the world, and we're not afraid to, you know, have a bit of a laugh at ourselves, and sort of we're quite aware of the things sort of that we hold dear and that they are quite different. And I think people do love coming to somewhere. I think there's something quite nice. There's something quite magic about it, I think, where, you know, you have a situation where you can go to a country and everybody speaks English, and you can correspond with people rightly, but sometimes they'll just come out with a phrase and you'll have absolutely no idea what it means or where it comes from. And I think people quite enjoy that, you know, that there's such a depth to Ireland like that, and there's so much to explore.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I thought that might have been outside, though, when you look at it, it's not, the scope of a lot of Serbic looking at it. Politics should be serious, but even in Ireland it has its little quirks as well.
Well, I suppose that's sort of where my first book, which is called Did That Actually Happen, was all about sort of, you know, ridiculous but true stories from Irish politics. And so that's always something that I've been sort of very keen on covering, sort of the satirical end of things. And, you know, Ireland has its particular, you know, it certainly has its interesting characters over the years.
Mm.
In this book, I've sort of taken in everything from, you know, from Daniel O'Connell to Parnell, and, you know, sort of right up to sort of Michael Collins and, you know, the Anglo-Irish Treaty. What I wanted to do was, obviously everybody knows these things, you know, and, you know, their faces were on money for a long time, so everybody knows the main thing. I wanted to focus in on stuff like, for instance, probably my favourite story in the whole book goes around to the Anglo-Irish Treaty negotiations in 1921. So, well, Michael Collins and Arthur Griffiths and all the lads were negotiating, you know, King Churchill and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
They were having an absolute whale of a tent over there. They were, you know, spending hundreds of quids on stuff from Harrods. So, like, they were buying, like, bonbons and party streamers and stuff like that. They were racking up huge bills and causing all sorts of damage to the furniture. They were, you know, in breakfast sessions, they were pelting coal and tangerines at each other. And Michael Collins, a couple of times, apparently, was, like, would get up at 3 a.m. just to yank somebody out of their bed. So, like, this is the sort of the Ireland that I wanted to, cover, sort of this lesser known, you know, sort of the secret history almost. And so that's, you know, what could be more Irish than you know, having a serious negotiation and sort of and throwing fruit across.
Okay, and as far as our music goes, you've taken a look at that as well.
I did, yeah, indeed, because of course, people.
If you could just sort of maybe move a little bit, Paddy, because the line has gone dreadfully distorted.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Can you hear me better now?
That's great, yeah.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, so obviously Irish music is such an important part of our culture, obviously. And like you say, you know, the tourists, they'll come in their droves to, you know, sort of for a session in the pub. But of course, we've also contributed so much to popular music over the years as well. And so I wanted to sort of mention, you know, everybody from Thin Lizzy to Rory Gallagher to, you know, sort of even Bono gets a mention. And even the likes of Poison and Bewitched, it's a very different kind of pop music. It's mm-hmm. very, very popular in their own way. I also then wanted to mention people that, not to be that really famous in Ireland,
you know, but they're so... Okay. Yeah, it's the line is pretty dreadful there, Paddy, I'm afraid. So I'll just finish off. I'll mention the book again, and it is called Do You Know Who's Dead? And it's out from Thursday. It's available, as you say, but I want to ask you a little bit about yourself just before you go. When you talk about being the world music quiz champion, you were crowned that. Exactly how did that come about?
I was indeed. Well, yes, would you believe that sort of, there is a quiz sort of circuit, you know, in the same way that there is with tennis or golf or anything mm-hmm. like that. And so that's something that I've been involved in for a while. And, you know, there's team sports. And so I've represented Ireland and everything else. And actually, there was the European Championships were held there in Rotterdam just last week. And so, so the Ireland team are actually very handy at quizzing. But it's just a massive beat the intro round, as you might have, you know, on a pub quiz. But it was just massive and with different people from around the world. And so yeah, I'm very glad to say that I won that in 2013. And hopefully I'll win the title back again. And I'm not Pádraig Harrington by any way, you know. But if any Irishman winning any international trophy, sure we'll take it, wouldn't we?
Okay, isn't it? looking at the resume, I'm a very, very busy man in Royal TV and the writing and all that. But do you still find time to be a youth worker and a mentor? Do you still do that as well, or has that been swallowed up by all your busy schedule?
Well, that was more of a full-time job a couple of years ago. But, I mean, I suppose the thing is that once you're, you know, a mentor and you're a youth worker, it never really leaves you. And obviously, I suppose some of the things that a lot of youth work sort of can suffer around is that, you know, when you're in a group, you know, everybody's sort of very, you know, engaged and eager and willing to go. But then it's, you know, how do you follow up on that? And I suppose it's like any youth worker would tell you that it's like it's trying to keep up the you know, the focus and the pressure on, mm-hmm. you know, whatever project it is you're working on. And so I still keep in contact, very good contact with all the people that I've been a mentor for over the years.
Okay.
And so I'm very proud to do that. And that's probably of all the things that I've done, you know, sort of between books and everything else, I would say that's probably what I'm proudest of.
Mm-hmm. And finally, like one of the things you were doing was tutoring political education to the Donegal Youth Council. Would you like to see that more widespread? I mean, we have an election looming here, and a lot of the teenagers may be more interested now than they ever have been before, but still a little bit apathetic about it. Would you like to see more of in education in every way that children should be taught more about politics and where they should get involved?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, I mean, you know, sort of the CSPE courses are, so it's a noble idea, but I mean, it needs to be dramatically expanded for my money. I mean, I also think that the franchise should be dramatically expanded. I think the 16-year-old should have the right to vote, because, you know, there's an awful lot of very long-term sustainable issues that are pressing at the moment, and it's important that, you know, the younger people start voting, then, you know, they're going to keep voting and they're going to be more concerned citizens. And I think that is very important. But I also think that going hand in hand with that is that people need to be met halfway as well. And, you know, young people are very wise, and they're a lot wiser than a lot of people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's vital that from a very early age, young people are aware of the context in what sort of political issues are happening and how it affects them. You know, it's like other, you know, you say that, you know, some people say that they're not interested in politics, but from the day you get up in the morning and you eat your breakfast or then go to your part-time job, you know, everything is political.
Yes, yeah.
So I think it's quite important that people sort of get that context early on. And that's always something that I've tried to do, you know, sort of whether it's youth work or books or whatever else, is that trying to make it interesting to people, you know, trying to make it real, but also trying to make it amusing as well. And also that it's not, you know, intractable, that it's like, it's not somebody else's job, or it's not a hopeless case for somebody, no matter who you are, that everybody has a say and everybody can have a hand in their own future. So I think absolutely, I think it should be rolled out from a very early age, and I think that everyone from 16 years of age should be able to vote themselves.
Okay, and you're currently working on a documentary series about a major figure, that's the president, obviously, in US politics.
Yes, indeed. And it's funny to think, actually, because one of the things that I was teaching the Donegal Youth Council about in my political education classes was about how the US political system works and how people get elected, because it's a very complicated system, you know, between primaries and electoral colleges and everything else. So I was explaining that to them, mm-hmm, in, you know, 2007, 2008, and now here I am working on, you know, the TV history of his presidency. So, you know, I love a challenge life, no, like, I'm not going to lie.
It is indeed, yeah. Okay, it's a complicated system. Anyway, Do You Know Who's Dead is a fabulous book by Paddy Duffy, and it's out. Again, how can we avail of it, Paddy?
Well, you can get it in all good bookshops, maybe a couple of bad ones as well. but you can get it sort of in everywhere from sort of Eason to your local bookshop, and it's always important to support your local bookshops, as it is indeed to. And actually, can I just say that as well? Know that it's great to be on a sort of a local community radio station as well. So that I cut my teeth on your Galway equivalent there in Slough FM, sort of many years ago, and I think it's an absolutely terrific resource for the whole community. So if you can buy it independently, I'll not be disappointed. But you can also buy them on Amazon as well. So if you fancy getting it delivered to you, or, you know, sending it over to some of your mates over among the diaspora, it's available on Amazon as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning on the programme. Do you get home much, Paddy?
Well, funny you say, actually, no, because I was back just this week. I turned 30 on Sunday. So I went back just for the weekend. It's a packed enough schedule when you're sort of flying, mm-hmm, from sort of Gatwick to Donegal. Doesn't leave you a huge amount of space either side. But I was back then, and I said, I tend to get back a wee bit, sort of like a bit here and a bit there, but it's like a couple of months in between. But, you know, sure, I'm luckier than most even by that thing, mm-hmm, as well. And thankfully, there's a lot in London, so I never get too homesick.
Okay, this place certainly is. Well, the one thing that bugs me about the travelling is you spend more time in the airport than you do in the air, especially when you're travelling to London backwards and forwards.
Oh, completely. It's an absolute nightmare. And it's like, you know, I got in, it's like we left the house at 4 o'clock and I didn't get into, you know, a place in London till midnight. You know, that's for an hour flight. It's madness altogether. Madness.
Okay, and again, the book is called Do You Know Who's Dead by Paddy Duffy. Listen, Paddy, congratulations and future success to you, which I'm sure is going to come your way anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No, great to be on. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.